And this morning we're looking at Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha. Photographs can be very deceptive. Whoever said the camera never lies, they'd never gone and had a studio portrait of themselves taken. I suppose it's more accurate to say, not the camera never lies, but the software does. Because if you've got a good software program today, you can make yourself slimmer, taller, you can erase any blemishes, spots, or you can even give yourself hair or moustache, if you so prefer. Studio portraits, though, although they're good, they are a little bit false, aren't they? Because every hair is in place, the person's been told how to pose, everything is just perfect. Not at all like real life. Sometimes we need to see reality, don't we? Rather than just a studio portrait. And what I like about the Bible is it shows people as they really are. Adrian Plass wrote a poem a number of years ago called The Real Problem. And it's a story of a little child reading or doing a little monologue about his parents. And this is what he says. So it's a child speaking. Sunday is a funny day. It starts with lots of noise. Mummy rushes round with socks and daddy shouts, "You boys!" My mummy says, "No, don't blame them. You know you're just as bad. You've only just got out of bed. It really makes me mad." My mummy is a Christian. My daddy is as well. My mummy says, "Oh heavens." My daddy says, "Oh well." And when they go to church at last, it's really very strange. Because mum and dad stop arguing and suddenly they change. At church, my mum and dad are friends. They get on very well. But no one knows they've had a row, and I'm not going to tell. People often come to them because they are so nice. And mum and dad are pleased to give them some advice. They tell them Christian freedom is worth an awful lot. But I don't know what freedom means, if freedom's what they've got. Daddy loves the meetings. He's always at them all. He's learning how to understand the letters of St. Paul. But mum says, "I'm stuck at home to lead my Christian life. It's just as well for blinking Paul, he didn't have a wife." I once heard my mummy say she'd walk out of his life. I heard once heard daddy say to her he'd picked a rotten wife. They really love each other. I really think they do. I think the people in the church would help them if they knew. Quite insightful, isn't it? Quite insightful. In Luke chapter 10, you get a behind-the-scenes look. Nothing is airbrushed. This is a real family situation in all its glory. Nothing glossed over, nothing airbrushed. Now, the context for this little story is one of busyness. At the beginning of Luke chapter 10, the first 24 verses are occupied with people going and doing. Jesus sends out 72 disciples to be his ambassadors. So it's on activity, doing, being, going, sharing. And then at the end of that, you have the story of the Good Samaritan. Verse 25 to 37. Again, the emphasis is on doing, helping someone who's injured. And only helping someone, the man's busy. He has to go off to other things that occupy him. And he leaves a deposit and he'll pay the rest when he gets back. It's all about busyness and doing. And then deliberately, Luke tells us this little story of Martha and Mary. Quite specifically placed here to remind us that as well as doing, sometimes we need to be resting. And it gives a balance to the chapter. Now, I want to put the chapter under a number of headings. First of all, note the place. Verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Jesus and the disciples, the 12, are journeying through Judea. Luke doesn't tell us the name of the village. He just tells us who lived there, Martha. But if you do a little detective work and you can link up passages, you soon find out the name of the village and the occupants of the house. Martha and this village and the occupants are mentioned in John chapter 11. And in John chapter 11 verse 1, the blanks, the details are filled in. The village is Bethany and three people live in the house. Martha, Mary and Lazarus. Bethany is about 2 miles, 3 kilometres from Jerusalem on the road to Jericho. The important thing about Bethany is this. For Jesus, it's a place of rest and relaxation. For about 2.5 years, Jesus has been an itinerant preacher, teaching, healing, blessing people, travelling around. It is draining in lots and lots of ways. Wherever he goes, there is a crowd of people sure to follow. All making demands. Tell us a story. Heal someone. The crowds came from all over. Jesus is giving out and giving out and giving out. But here, Bethany is not just a house, it's a home. It is a special place for Jesus. A house is a dwelling place where people live. A home is where people's hearts are. A house contains furniture, the essentials of living. A home contains memories, the good and the bad. Any building can be your house, but only one place is ever really your home. And for Jesus, during his itinerant ministry, this was a home, not just a house. It's a little oasis, a hideaway, somewhere to go and relax. Somewhere he can switch off and unwind. And somewhere where he can enjoy the company of 3 special friends. Martha, Mary and their brother Lazarus. Now in this chapter, Lazarus isn't mentioned. 3 times in John 11 we're told Jesus loved Lazarus. There's a special bond between Jesus and these 3 people. But in the home, like I say, it's the home of Martha and Mary. And for Jesus, it's a place to relax. We all need times to chill, don't we? Some people are described by others as workaholics, always on the go. If you're like that, maybe you'll enjoy this edition of Psalm 23. Someone has parodied it. Psalm 23 for the workaholic. The clock is my dictator. I shall not rest. It makes me lie down only when exhausted. He leads me into deep depression. It hounds my soul. It leads me in circles of frenzy for activity's sake. Even though I run frantically from task to task, I will never get it all done, for my ideal is with me. Deadlines and my need for approval, they drive me. They demand performance from me beyond the limits of my schedule. They anoint my head with migraines. My in-basket overflows. Surely fatigue and time pressure shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the bonds of frustration forever. I'm glad to say Jesus was a busy man, but he was not a workaholic. He knew the importance of time out, the importance of taking a break. And for him, Bethany is one of those little oases where he could go and he could switch off and nobody made demands upon him. So that's the place. Secondly, let's look again at the people. A house is a place, a home is often the people and the relationships that make it that way. Mary, Martha, Lazarus. We're looking at the 2 sisters this morning, Martha and Mary. Martha is thought to be a widow. She's named as the house owner. Lazarus was the male, but he's not named the home of Lazarus, it's the home of Martha. So it's believed that Martha was married, her husband died, she is the head of the house, the one who owns the property. Mary is an unmarried sister who shares the house with Martha. We used to have quite a cruel word for unmarried ladies called spinster. But it doesn't sound very pleasant, does it? One of my colleagues, Ivor Powell, used to say they're not spinsters, they're unclaimed treasures. And I like that word, unclaimed treasures. That was Mary. Now, they're always closely linked in the Gospels. So much, it's hard to find them apart. In fact, 3 times they appear in quite graphic and moving situations. Here in Luke chapter 10, they're together and Mary dominates this first account. The hostess in her home. In John chapter 11, when Lazarus dies, they're fused together in their grief over their brother. And then in John chapter 12, we encounter them again, but this time Mary dominates the narrative. She does a costly act of devotion towards Jesus. But they're often seen together. But the two sisters are very different in their personalities. Martha, I think we would describe Martha as energetic, eager to serve. The first to kind of roll up her sleeves and get stuck in when she saw a job. Probably the first one up in the morning, singing. You know those irritating people who wake up with energy, singing, making preparations for the day. Probably the last one to go to bed at night, making sure every dish is cleaned, putting away stuff that's not in its right place. So you get the impression with Martha, she's a doer. The dinner's never overcooked, the perfect hostess. By contrast, Mary seems to be a more reflective person. We get three glimpses of Mary in the Gospel. On each occasion, she's always in the same place. She's always at the feet of Jesus. For example, Luke chapter 10, verse 39. She sat at the feet of Jesus and she listened to him teach. In John 11, verse 32, when her brother died, she falls at the feet of Jesus and says, "Lord, you could have done something." And she brings her heartache, her prayers, her requests. And then in John chapter 12, verse 32, she's again at the feet of Jesus, anointing them, washing them, drying them, pouring out perfume, her act of worship. So three times we see Mary always at the feet of Jesus. So we'll probably describe Mary as perceptive, a woman who asks few but thoughtful questions, a good listener, sensitive and calm. So two sisters, very, very different temperaments. And when Jesus arrives on the scene, both are pleased to see him. But notice how both of them express that delight in different ways. And that will lead on to the third point, a disagreement. A disagreement. Notice that Luke, first of all, tells us about Mary, verse 39. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. She's focused, clear-minded, no incidental is going to get in the way. This is essential for her, spending time with Jesus. She's content to listen and she's happy not doing anything. And by contrast, verse 40, Martha, distracted by all the preparations that need to be made. That word distraction means not knowing which way to turn. Mary looks at Jesus and she says, "I've got to enjoy his company. He doesn't come by so often these days." Martha looks at Jesus and thinks, "He needs a good meal. Where's the kitchen?" And at this point in the narrative, preachers often give Martha a bit of a bashing for her response. How would you respond if at the end of this meeting your partner said to you, "Oh, by the way, see those 13 people over there? They're coming back for dinner in half an hour." I think you'd panic, wouldn't you? "What? We haven't got the food. We're going to go to the shop on the way." That was the situation here. Jesus, 12 disciples, Lazarus is also in the house, no doubt. All of a sudden, Martha's not cooking for three, she's cooking for 16. Panic, panic. There's a story told of a preacher who preached on Mary and Martha, and boy, did he give Martha a bad time. So busy in the kitchen, she didn't have time for Jesus, and he tore her a strip. And he was invited back for lunch afterwards. So when he got to the home, his hostess said, "Oh, by the way, could you just sit in this front room here?" And so he sat in the front room, and she disappeared. And he could hear the family in the back room, but he'd gone where he was told to go, in the front room. No one put the light on, no one had lit the fire, it was winter, it was dark and it was gloomy, and he was quite cold, and he sat there for about 5 minutes, 10 minutes. After about 15 minutes, he thought, "They forgot me." So he got up, and very nervously he opened the door, and he walked to the back room where he could hear laughter. As he opened up the door, the light was on, the fire was on, they all had a cup of tea and a cake. And his hostess looked him in the eye and said, "Oh, come into Martha's room," she said. "Come into Martha's room." I think that preacher got the point. Sometimes we say it's all one or the other. Actually, there's a need for balance. We need to be those who serve. We need to be those who spend time reflecting. It's not either or. And on this occasion, Martha is busy but distracted. And the danger in this passage is to contrast Mary and Martha. I think one made a right choice, one made a wrong choice. As we'll see, Martha's mistakes weren't what she was doing, it was her attitude. But we'll come on to that in a minute. Charles Wesley realised that years ago. He wrote an old hymn. And one of the verses says this: "Faithful to my Lord's command, I still would choose the better part. Serve with careful Martha's hands and loving Mary's heart." He realises not either or, all service or all rest. We need both. We need to be balanced. And the key thing for all of us is, as someone has said, blessed are the balanced. The balanced. Now, why did the Lord rebuke Martha? Because she made three mistakes. Three mistakes. Number one, she rebuked the Lord. Did you notice that in verse 40? She rebuked the Lord. There's more than just food overheating in the kitchen. Martha herself has been slowly coming to the boil. And in verse 40, she boils over. She explodes. "Lord, don't you care? My sister has left me to do the work all by myself. Tell her to help me." And just imagine, I've deliberately put a picture of someone kneading the dough, because I can imagine her in the kitchen saying, "That Mary, that jolly Mary, I'm in here working." And she's slamming the dough down and she's punching it as if it was a punch bag, and she's pulling it apart. "I do all the work. She gets all the time to sit and listen," and she's stewing it all over. And eventually she boils over and she can take it no more, and she throws the dough down and she goes into the room and says, "Lord, don't you care? I'm the one working," and she's taking it easy. Notice she doesn't even call Mary by name. "My sister." She's mad. She's mad. And unthinkingly, she also stabs into the heart of Jesus. We do that, don't we? I'm very good at that. Someone upsets you as you drive home and you walk in the door and you take it out on someone else. And that's what Martha does here. She's upset by her sister and she goes and takes it out on Jesus. So first of all, she rebukes the Lord. That was a mistake. Secondly, she misjudged her sister. She misjudged her sister. She interprets Mary's devotion to Christ as selfishness and as laziness. And she despises her for her impractical dreaminess. And I suppose one reason we get angry or we misjudge people is when we're tired. When we're tired, we don't think straight. On camp in a couple of weeks' time, most of our problems can be solved by a good night's sleep. People, leaders will have personality clashes. Kids will fall out with one another. And do you know what the situation is? Go to bed, we'll talk about it in the morning. And in the morning, it kind of dissolves overnight. Because when we're tired, we let our guard down. We say things we don't really mean. Another side of our personality becomes dominant. But when we're restful, we're more controlled. So secondly, she misjudged her sister. And then thirdly, she had wrong priorities. She placed her agenda over Christ. She became so preoccupied with the meal that she forgot about the guests. And the priority of Jesus isn't that he wants a big meal. He wants lots of friends. He wants company. He wants fellowship. And she pays too much attention to the things that don't matter and not enough time to the things that do. And from the moment Christ came into the door, she's been absent in the kitchen preparing food. She is too busy. And then finally, we have the response in verse 41. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset by many things." Jesus tames Martha's aggressive attitude, but do you notice how he does it in love? Twice he says her name, "Martha, Martha." There's an emphasis there. You're not unimportant. She's not more important than you. "Martha, Martha," says Jesus. Of course he cares about her. Of course he realises she's been busy. But here's the point. I'd rather have a simple meal with your company than a huge banquet without you. You got your priorities wrong. So in verse 42 he says, "Only One thing is needed. He just highlights one thing. Only one thing is needed. Now, people don't quite know what Jesus meant. There are two options. Option one is this. Jesus is saying we only need one dish. Why are you making 20 meals for and 4 puddings? We only need one dish to keep us filled. A bit of bread would do. Only one thing's needed, and you could spend time at my feet as well. Or, the second option is, only one thing is needed. It's not referring to food or drink, but to Mary's example. One thing I want for you is not food, but your friendship. Come and spend time with me. Mary has chosen what is better. It will not be taken from her. And I guess either interpretation is valid. But the principle there, spend time with Jesus. In conclusion, I guess the two points we learn from Mary and Martha are this. Like Mary, let's make Jesus Lord. Like Mary, let's make Jesus Lord. Three times, verse 39, verse 40, verse 41, that title is used. Lord, Lord, Lord. Mary's posture is at the feet of Jesus. She's in submission. She's waiting for the Master to speak and she wants to obey. May that be our desire this week, to be at the feet of Jesus. Say, Lord, here am I. What are you saying to me? What can I do for you? And let's learn from Martha to prioritise. To prioritise. Service is good and important. No church can do without hard workers. And I've been to some big churches. And I tell you what, in some of the biggest churches I know, I hear the same things from the same ministers. We ain't got enough people to do this. And I'm thinking, you've got hundreds in your congregation. Church, not too long ago, 450 people. And the minister said, we stopped the youth work. I said, why? He said, no one to do it. I said, you've got 450 people in your congregation. He said, I know, but no one will do it. So you've had to stop it. Every church is the same. There's a few who work themselves to death and others who kind of attend the funeral afterwards. But busy people have to slow down and prioritise. Many things distract us, said Jesus. What distracts us from being effective for Jesus? This week, let's not get so distracted by work, or you fill in the blanks, or by whatever, that we haven't had time to sit at the feet of Jesus. So I guess there's two simple applications. From Mary, make Jesus Lord. And from Martha, prioritise. What's number one? Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. All these other things are added. They're not taken away. They find their proper place. Let's pray.